All right. How you doing? So good. So good. Who's excited to have Pastor Brad back and Pastor Allison? I can't wait to hear Pastor Brad preach next Sunday. He's going to bring it. He's ready to explode, I reckon. So it's going to be good. I'm really pumped to be preaching tonight. I don't look excited, but I really am. I'm really excited. I'm a bit slow, but I'm deliberate, I've been told, so it's all right. So, but I am really excited to preach tonight. I was so excited I was going to wear my cowboy boots. It's Ben Allison, but I was brought back some cowboy boots from the United States, but I just couldn't find the right shirt to wear it with, so... but it's coming. It's coming. I love to worship God. If you don't know, I'm the creative pastor here at Shire Live, and I love to worship God. And if it's all right with you, I want to preach on worship tonight. Is that okay? Yeah. I think if Jackson can spruik youth every single time he's up on this stage, then I can preach on worship, all right? So it's going to be good. I just want to thank everyone's encouragement from when I preached last Sunday. So many of you were so generous with your encouragement, and I need that tonight, all right? I need your encouragement tonight, all right? So my message tonight is titled Wonder and Worship. Ooh, we're getting deep. We're getting deep. I love to worship. From the moment I gave my life to Christ, I've loved worshiping Him. Before I even knew or experienced the different forms of worship, I loved to worship. The different, you know, the hand raise, the double hand raise, the kneel down, the one finger. My favorite, the thump the chest. If you see me worship, I do that a bit. Before I knew all those different forms, before I even knew what Christianity meant, before I knew what was important to worship, I loved to do it. I wasn't raised in church, so I wasn't raised around religion. So my knowledge of worship didn't come from the experience of it. It didn't come from the knowledge of it. It didn't even come really from the understanding of it. It came from encountering Him. Yeah, it came from meeting Him, from seeing Him. I didn't come from a church background, but the moment I saw Him, I knew exactly what to do. You know, tonight you may not have a church background, but I tell you, when you see Him, you'll know exactly what to do. And because worship isn't just an experience. It's not our knowledge or understanding of it that causes us to do it. It happens when we encounter Him. And my worship is not founded on just knowledge. It's founded on wonder. And tonight... we're going to talk about being in wondrous awe of who He is. Amen? Because wonder brings worship. Worship is not a feeling. It's not a slow song. It's not a posture. It's not a mood. It's not a segment. It's not a warm-up. It's not even something that you can be told to do. Now, I'm going to explain all of that. But it's a response to who He is. It's an act of wonder. All right? Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. You're wrong, but that's all good. We'll get there. All right. I think a lot of us, if you're looking for breakthrough in your worship tonight, I want to help you. All right? I want to help you in your breakthrough tonight. Because I think a lot of us, we're waiting on the right song. We're hoping for a feeling, Or that just one time we'll open our eyes and our hands will automatically be raised and it will just happen magically, you know. Just look, it happened. But I want to help you tonight because I don't think you're going to find it in a song, but a song helps. And you're not going to find it in an atmosphere, but an atmosphere helps. It's going to come when you see Him for who He is. When you see Him in His fullness, when you see Him in full view, when God's nature, when God's nature is revealed and you see Him, you will have nothing else you would rather do than worship. Your breakthrough would have happened. You won't be able to stop yourself. It'll break out. When you see Him, you won't be able to help yourself. So tonight, if you're looking for breakthrough in worship, it starts in wonder. All right, let's go to Psalm 97, verse 1. Woo, getting into it. This is great scripture, yeah. This is good stuff. Psalm 97, verse 1 to 6. The Lord reigns, let the earth be glad. Let the distant shores rejoice. Clouds and thick darkness surround Him. Ooh. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of His throne. Fire goes before Him and consumes His foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord. Before the Lord of all the earth, the heavens proclaim His righteousness and all peoples see His glory. His lightning lights up the world. I love thunderstorms. I love them. I love thunderstorms. I just love it. I'm fascinated with them. The images, the sounds, fireworks don't even come close with a lightning storm. And we used to have this big veranda at Sarah and my first house, our first house. We had this big veranda and it had a big plastic sheet so you could see through it. And every time there would be a thunderstorm, Sarah was always weirded out by it, but every time there was a thunderstorm, I'd go and sit out underneath the veranda and just watch the storm and hear the sound, see the lightning just burst across the sky, and I would count the seconds from when the lightning would strike to when the sound would roar. Because if you don't know, you can count the seconds, and the quicker they get, that's how close the lightning is getting to you. And I was doing that not because I wanted to know how quickly I should run inside, but I was doing it because I wanted to be right in the middle of it. I wanted to be cracking just right overhead, to be face to face with it. And I wonder if you think I would get the same sensation if I was watching it on a TV screen. Or you know, praise the Lord for Instagram, but if you put up a picture of a lightning storm, I'm not going to get the same sensation from a 2D screen. You know, if we splashed it across this screen tonight, just this like, whew, this amazing image, I'm not about to grab a chair and come and sit here and just like veranda style, like watch it on the screen. There's something missing. Even if we had it on video, you know, and Jason Burns like thundered it through the subs like no one else can. It wouldn't be the same. It wouldn't be that authentic feel. And should I be in awe just because it has the form of something that brings wonder? Wow. Should I be in awe just because it sort of looks like it? It's easy to be in an environment of worship and still not worship. Why? Because because the song's not right, because you had a rotten day, because you had a rotten week, because you had a rotten month. No, feelings and preferences can't hinder wonder-filled worship. They just can't. And the reason why you're struggling in your worship, maybe, is because you're trying to worship off the image of a 2D screen. You're trying to worship through an experience created to help you see Him, but the experience isn't Him. But if you would open your eyes and look upon Him, you'll transition from a worship experience to experiencing the King of Kings face to face. A worship environment is going to help you, but you won't worship until you see Him, until you see Him in His fullness, till you have Him in full view. I have tasted and seen, and there is no counterfeit that can satisfy. Your issue isn't that you struggle to worship. Your issue is that you struggle to see. You struggle to see. Not just the form, not just being in the atmosphere and the environment. You're seeing that, but you're not seeing Him. And you're trying to stir up a feeling that doesn't generate from an environment. It is generated from an encounter. From what you see, wonder brings worship. There is no chicken or egg issue here. There's no confusion. There's no chicken and egg. Wonder comes before worship. It comes before worship. Before then, we're trying to engage. But the moment we see, we worship. You won't engage in worship. You want to engage in worship, you have to experience Him yourself. Not just an atmosphere, but Him, face to face. Not just the form, because if it's not Him, it's just fireworks. If it's not Him, it's just fireworks. It's the stuff that we can do on our own. It's the stuff that we can make and generate. But if it's Him, we don't need no stinking fireworks. I don't need to be afraid when Luke Collis has a firework in his hand. And if you're in Myanmar, you should be afraid. Be very afraid, all right? He is a crazy man, all right? Be in awe. Be in wonder. Get close and see Him face to face. Your worship will be transformed, because it'll be an act of wonder. Verse 5 of that same scripture, the mountains melt like wax before the Lord. Woo! Have you ever stood in front of a mountain? And I'm not talking a hill-like structure in Australia. I'm talking a real blown mountain. You feel small. You feel finite. And that's what awe and wonder does. It shifts something in you when you stand in front of something that's beyond you. It shifts something inside of you. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord. The same way we feel when we stand before mountains is the same way mountains feel when they stand before God. When we see God, what feels significant melts into insignificance. When He is magnified, when the bigness of our God fills the full view, what we thought were mountains in our own eyes become like Australian hills. And they melt away, and worship flows, because wonder brings freedom. Because when I look at a mountain, two amazing things happen simultaneously. When I look at a mountain, I lose track of myself, but at the same time, I feel part of something that's bigger than myself. And there's a real freedom in that. It's a freedom from self. When we gaze upon something that is beyond us, we become free of ourselves. When we're not magnifying Him, it's easy to start magnifying ourselves. Little things become big things, and we can lose perspective. If I fascinate long enough on one thing of myself, I can magnify it to a point where I can see nothing else. If I have my thumb, and maybe I don't like my thumb, but I do, I like my thumb, it's all good. You're a good thumb, all right. But if I magnify this thumb, I can get it to such a point where you are not in this room. You aren't even here. And that's what happens when we magnify ourselves. We can't see beyond ourselves. And there is so much that God is wanting us to see. There's so much that God is wanting us to engage in. But when we aren't magnifying Him, we just fall into magnifying something else, and it's ourselves, and it blocks our view. But if I magnify Him and put Him in full view, then everything else is put in perspective. Worry, fear, doubt, insecurity, flaws, strengths, my awesomeness, my brilliance, everything that would pull me down and everything that would inflate itself. That's what magnifying it. Everything that would want to bring me down to who I'm not called to be, that would... it would shift me out of my alignment of a child of God. Anything that makes me less than that, it gives me perspective on those things. But anything that would exalt itself above what God has for me, it gives me perspective. When we have perspective, it's beautiful. We get to see like a child again. When we are in wonder of who He is. You know, I love being a kid. I don't know about you. I loved it. You know, everything was possible, you know. Everything was doable, and I did some silly things because of that. And but when you see like a child, anything is possible. When He's in full view, things that once seemed impossible become possible. You begin to see Him for all that He is, the fullness of who He is. And I'm not relying on what He's done for someone else. I'm seeing the nature of the person who's standing before me. And I know who He is. And because I know who He is, I don't need to rely on what He's done for someone else, because I know it's Him and He'll do it for me, because He doesn't change. It's who He is. When I see Him for who He is. I know that my daddy can do it, because wonder brings faith. Wonder brings faith, because it changes my perspective on what I'm capable of, and now I begin to see what He's capable of. And things shift. I see things differently. I'm not bound by what I'm capable of. I can see what He's capable of. And if He's called me to it, then He's gonna make it happen. He's capable of making it happen. And in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." That's what faith is. But where does faith come from? It's good, eh? I thought it was a good thought. Hang on. That's what faith is. But where does faith come from? Well, verse 6 of the same chapter. "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, For he that cometh to God, I love King James. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is. Must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is not stirred from a hope. It comes from believing that he is. And how do I believe that he is? By seeing him for who he is. I get to know who he is by seeing him for all that he is. Through the word, through my encounter with him, when he is revealed, I know who he is. So my faith isn't in something that is unseen. It's in something that I can see, and it's him. Yeah. We're trying to stir up a hope. We need to stir up a hope. We need to fix our eyes on him. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But it doesn't come from what I can't see. It comes from who I can see. Who I can see. My faith is founded in wonder, in the wonder of who he is. I'm not trying to stir up a feeling. I'm trying to see a person. Our struggle isn't in a lack of faith. It's in a lack of seeing. In a lack of hope. It's in a lack of seeing. Yeah. This is my last point. It's really early, but it's all good. Because who wants to worship some more? Yeah. We're going to do that. Ooh, yeah. All right. Jones, can you come? Just Jones. Just want that flow, brother. Those feels. Amen. Faith is based. Faith is not based on something that is unseen. It's fixed on someone we can see. My last point. It's all right, it's a really long one, so we're not going to finish that early. So, wonder brings miracles. I just love it when you like stumble across a verse or this passage in the Bible and like really has, like in a full story, has no like great significance. But then in a moment, like whew, you just have this aha moment and a wonder moment and like something comes alive. That's this weird passage of scripture that I'm probably guessing no one's preached from before. And it's Mark chapter 9, verse 14 and 15. It says, when they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. So you got the disciples, you got the teachers of the law, and you got this crowd around them. But as soon as the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. The passage goes on and after that he performs many miracles. I love this picture. There's four groups of people. There's four identities. There's the crowd. There's the disciples. There's the teachers of the law. And then there's Jesus. Some interesting observations. The teachers of the law. The teachers of the law. Somehow, these guys have become the bad guys, right? In Scripture, when you're reading New Testament, these guys have become the bad guys. A few books ago, before Jesus rocked up on the scene, these guys were the good guys. But now, all of a sudden, they've become the bad guys. And I wonder why they'd become the bad guys when a few books ago they were the legends. It's because they represented truth. But now their truth didn't represent Jesus. And the truth is only the truth if it's pointing to who Jesus is. So any truth outside of Jesus is not the truth. So if they're not holding up Jesus, they're not holding up the truth. Because He is the way, the truth, and the life. If what we're doing doesn't point to Him as the truth, then it's not the truth. If it's not His way, it's the wrong way. And if it's not, if it doesn't have His life, it's dead. Because He is the way, the truth, and the life. Why did the crowd see Jesus before the teachers of the law saw Jesus? That's interesting to me. I would think because they're sort of looking out, they're all sort of looking in, Jesus come, they would see. Why didn't they see Jesus? Why didn't they look in wonder? Why didn't they run? Because when you're holding up a truth that's not Him, it's hard to see Him even if He's right in front of you. And what a shame. What a shame to be in an atmosphere like this. And He's right there. And you can't see Him. And you're trying to worship. You're looking around. The right music's playing. Jones is playing. And He's right there. What is it that's blocking your view? What is it that's obstructing your view of Him? What is it that you need to let go of that you would see who Jesus really is? If you would just let go, you would see how good He is. You would see the wonder of all that He is. And it will work miracles in you. My other observation of this scripture is that the disciples must have arrived first because the crowd had already gathered. The crowd were interacting with the disciples first. But here's a good tip. Let Jesus go first. Because people are attracted to Jesus. They didn't. When they saw Jesus, they ran. When we're in an atmosphere like this, what we do, we just need to lift up Jesus. We need to lift up Him that all men would see. When the people saw Jesus, they ran, they worshiped. Do you know what turns people off from Jesus? Not seeing Jesus. Because if they were to see Him, there's no way that they wouldn't be transformed. When people see us, do they see Jesus? Because if they saw Him, they would run. We can be a walking wonder if we're in a place of wonder. If we reveal Jesus, He would draw all men. When the crowd saw Jesus, they saw miracles. Wonder and faith are linked. When we see all who God is and know all He can do. You know the reason why God performs miracles? It's not to just show what He can do. It's to show who He is. It's to reveal Himself. It's to show who He is. I went and visited Dr. Alan Bay this week. And I'm not going to steal his testimony because it's way, way too good. It's amazing. But from the outside, I saw all that God had done. I had an awareness of the miracle that had taken place in his life. And if you're unaware, Dr. Alan had a heart attack on a bike, and his heart stopped, and he was without oxygen for a long period of time. And he was in hospital, and there was fear that he would have lost brain function because of the lack of oxygen. But miraculously, he was completely fine. His brain was in optimal function, and he was out of like ICU in like 10 days, which is just absolutely incredible. And if you saw him, you'd be amazed. Like, he was here this morning, yeah, it's an amazing story. And I, from the outside, I knew the story. You know, I knew this. I knew that what had happened, some of the things that had taken place, miraculous. And I thought like him when I would go to meet him, that I would meet this like really grateful, thankful person. And he should be, right? Because God just like saved his life. And I think from an outside, when we see miracles, that's what we think. We think, oh, how amazing and powerful our God is. And He is. But when I talked to Alan, it wasn't just gratefulness and thankfulness by God saving him. It was the revelation of who Jesus is. And I didn't see a man that was just grateful and thankful. I saw a man that was in love with Jesus. And when you read the scriptures and you look at all the different miracles, you see people not just in awe of what He can do, but they are in love with who He is. That's what miracles do. They point to who He is. And it starts and it's based in wonder, not in just, not just to an atmosphere, not just, and you've got to understand, I'm an atmosphere junkie. I love it, right? I love it. I love what Jones is doing. I love it. You know, I could just sing out right now and just woo, be good. I love it. But tonight, as we worship, I want you to go past an experience of sound and screening, lights, camera, action. Not just the form, not just whether you're in pass me the ball hands or why me? That you would lift up your eyes and see Him. If you have struggled in your worship, I guarantee that if you could let go of whatever it is that's standing there, if you could let it come down and you could see Him for who He is, you'd be transformed. Your worship be transformed. Wonder brings worship. Wonder brings freedom. Wonder brings faith. Wonder brings miracles. It's all in Him and who He is and what He can do. And worship band, can you come? Tonight, I'm going to give people an opportunity to receive Him. To encounter Him face to face. You know, why live distant when He's already so close? You know, that just makes no sense to me. You know, but before I do that, we're going to worship. We're going to worship, and as a Bethel song, it's an older song. It was actually wasn't written like a normal song is written, you know, in time. And this was a spontaneous song that that came on the album, and basically it just came out of a moment when the worship leader just had an encounter with who Jesus is. And this song called Wonder came out. And tonight, we've never done it here before, but I just felt so strongly that we would worship to this song. The verse is like, may we never lose our wonder. May we never lose our wonder. And tonight, if that's something that's been missing, maybe you've just been going through the motions a little bit. You know, you've been diligent, you've been coming to church, you're trying to do the right things, but there's just something that's, you know, there's no life in your relationship. Tonight, I pray that you would receive wonder again. You would receive wonder. And you'd be like a child again. You'd be able to look up at him. Your perspective would shift. You know, you'd be able to magnify him, see him. Tonight, why don't you stand on your feet?